please like and subscribe. Let's grow NAIA basketball. Thank you. Cascade Hoops Talk, bringing the world NAIA basketball one podcast at a time. Cascade Hoops Talk, Billy D. Well, it's Friday. You know what that means. Boy, there's tons of games tomorrow. I love the weekend. As you know, I get on the road and I watch basketball all weekend. So I'm pretty excited. By the time you get this message, I will already have my day plan and I'll be on the go. A lot of big games last night. Several upsets. We're going to talk about those. Adam Hepker, Mid-American Nazarene's going to join us. They've got a game and a half lead now in the heart. Let's just get right to it. A lot of action last night. So in the SAC, the Sooner Athletic Conference, Langston takes their first loss of the season. They go to 19-1. Sagu beats them in Waxahachie. CJ Hall, he scored 19 points. Noah Bowling, he scored 13 points. Very, very good defensive game by Sagu. That's what it's going to take to beat Langston. And they beat them there on their home court, and Langston goes down. Congratulations to Sagu for that. That's a big win for them. Langston, they're going to take on UNT Dallas on Saturday. So taking a look now at the Sooner, Mid-America Christian wins, Wayland Baptist wins, Science and Arts wins. There's something in Presto last night. I don't know. Anyway, Central Christian beat UNT Dallas in two overtimes, and then John Brown beat Oklahoma Panhandle by only four. A little surprise there. So the standings, Langston still has a game and a half lead over Mid-America Christian, but boy, they're sneaking up on them. And Sagu's right there. And then these three are all tied. The Science and Arts game didn't register. I don't know what the deal is. It never finalized in Presto. In the Mid-South, Cumberland's, they win again. They go to 19-2. They beat Lindsey Wilson. J.J. Ramey, 31 points, 7 rebounds. Anthony Johnson, 16 points, 4 rebounds. As I say, they're at 19-2, and they're going to play Carolina Christian on Saturday, and I believe that's a non-conference. Yeah, that's a non-conference game. Georgetown, they are back in the winning column. They seem to be back on a roll. Seth Johnson, 14 points, and Jabrian Spikes, 11 points, 5 rebounds as they beat Campbellsville. They go to 17-4. They'll play Lindsey Wilson on Saturday. One other game last night, Cumberland beat Bethel. In the standings, Cumberland and Freed Hardman are 5-1. Look at this. Georgetown is just one game back. You knew it would tighten back up in that Mid-South Conference. In the Southern Conference, Mobile, they beat Blue Mountain. Ezra McKenna, this guy can play basketball. 27 points, 14 rebounds. Joshua Williams, 17 points, 4 assists. So Mobile goes to 17-5, and they're going to play Loyola on Saturday. So Stillman, they get the win. Big win for Stillman. I'll show you in the standings. William Carey beats Faulkner. Tennessee Southern still three games up on Stillman. They've got second place now. Mobile's in third. William Carey and Dalton State are right behind them. And Life is back there knocking on the door. Another game back. In the Frontier, big game in the Frontier. Montana Tech and Carroll were tied in the Frontier going in tonight. Carroll had to go into Butte, and Montana Tech beat him 90-66. Asa Williams, 23 points, 2 rebounds. Krishan Dixon, 17 points, 6 rebounds. Montana Tech, they go to 17-4, and they're going to play Montana Western on Saturday. Montana State Northern beat Rocky Mountain. Boy, Rocky Mountain they had so much promise early in the year. Montana Northern beat Rocky Mountain. Montana Western beat the Argos of Providence. So look at the standings. Montana Tech now has a full game on Carroll. Montana, Western, Providence, and then Rocky Mountain is down at 2-6. In the Red River tonight, LSU Shreveport, they go down. Our Lady of the Lake beats them 90-86. They put LSU Shreveport to 15-5. Daniel Helterhoff, 20 points, 5 rebounds. Bray and Campbell, 19 points, 8 rebounds. Shreveport is going to try to turn it around on Saturday. They play Huston Tillotson. Let's look at the rest of the conference there. Paul Quinn wins. Texas A&M, Texarkana wins. Jarvis Christian. They didn't play the Xavier Texas College game. And then Alexandria continues to win. So look at these standings here in the Red River. Alexandria is a game. I don't know why the tie thing is there, but they're a game up on Xavier on Texas College and Xavier. LSU Shreveport's another. So they're two full games back of Alexandria. So LSU Alexandria is kind of taking control of the Red River. We'll have to watch that. Nobody was expecting that a month ago. You know that. Arizona Christian, they go down. Number 15 goes down. Number 2 goes down. Number 15 goes down. Number 16 goes down. Jessup University, they went over to Arizona Christian. They beat them 91-80. Xavier Leflis, 22 point, 10 rebound, double-double. Miles Corey, 22 points, 6 rebounds, 6 assists. A big win for Jessup. Coach Mark Darnell's really got them playing well. You know, it took them a little while to gel, but that's not somebody you want to play right now is Jessup. Arizona Christian goes to 16-6. And they're going to play Menlo on Saturday. I don't have the standings because Presto didn't completely update, but Jessup won. Menlo beat OUAZ. That's a final. It just didn't show up. The Masters battled Vanguard. And Hope International needed overtime to get past Life Pacific. Life Pacific came in without a win in the conference, and they gave Hope at Hope everything they could handle, but they ended up falling in the end. In the Sun Conference, just a non-conference game, Florida Memorial beat New College of Florida, 88-82. Latavius Mitchell, 16 points, 5 rebounds. Jaden Geis, 12 points. They go to 17-4, and they're going to play Warner on Saturday. Florida College, this was last night or night before. I forgot to put it up, but they beat Warner 94-70. Tyshawn Judge, 20 points, 3 rebounds. And Keegan Zeller, 14 points, 10 rebounds for a double-double in that game. So Florida College is 19-4. They play Arkansas Baptist tonight. American Midwest, Central Baptist, look at this. They needed overtime to get past Columbia Hare. Stowe won, William Woods. So in the American Midwest, Central Baptist maintains that 2-game lead in the conference. In the Cal Pac tonight, Antelope Valley, let's get it up there. Antelope Valley won. Westcliff beat Pacific Union. Merced won. La Sierra beat Simpson. So really everything was as expected. The standings didn't change in that conference. Okay, we had an opportunity. What was it, yesterday morning to this morning? To speak to Adam Hepker. He's head men's basketball coach, Mid-America Nazarene. They're another team. They were in the top 25. They stumbled just a little bit and they got knocked out. But they have worked their way up to the top of the conference, and now they're a game and a half up with 7 games to go. Let's take a listen to Adam Hepker. Cascade Hoops Talk, Billy D. Hey, I got Adam Hepker on the phone, Mid-America Nazarene. Thank you, Coach, for being on the show.
Absolutely. Happy to get on and talk hoops with you again, Billy.
So, Coach Hepker, you've won 9 in a row. You're on a run. I'm really impressed with you've getting some home cooking there at home. You're 9-1 at home. The team's been playing pretty well. Just talk about your team so far.
Yeah, it's been an awesome second semester. Really a great year so far, but undefeated in the second semester here since we've come back from break, and doing it a little unconventionally after our point guard got hurt, which has been fun to see our guys step up and rally around Brandon who's running the point for us. So we're defending and we're still rebounding at a high level, and our offense has come around. It wasn't great always first semester. We didn't always shoot it great or get great shots, but we thought we could score it. And when you couple that with how we're defending, it's a pretty good recipe right now. So trying to get better every day still and find ways to improve and stay hungry and stay humble, but pleased with what we've done here so far in the new year.
Coach, I was looking at that. I've noticed that in conference across the board, you're shooting better than you were before. What do you attribute that to?
I don't know.
Well, figure it out, coach, so you can do it again.
I know. We try to recruit really good shooters. We think we have really good shooters. And all year long, we have generated really, really good shots for the most part. We didn't make them all the time. And quite honestly, it got us beat a couple times in the first semester. But, we are speaking life into our guys. We continue to get shots up in our shooting groups, and our guys come back in the evenings. And so that it's just a reps thing, and never are we going to come down on our guys for missing shots. If we're taking great shots, we want them to let it fly and stick it and own it and knock it down. And what we've done so well to kind of save us in some games, Billy, is when we don't make them, is we go offensive rebound. We go get it. So that's been really, really good for us. And honestly, it gives our shooters a lot of confidence, because if I do happen to miss, there's a great chance we get a second chance. So.
You know, I want to ask you about a couple of guys, but I want to start with, Anthony Brown has been just everything. I mean, he's 18 points a game. What is he? Almost 9 rebounds. He's only 6'5". Yeah. He's your top assist guy. I ask coaches this all the time. How does a 6'5 guy get so many rebounds? There's a lot of guys like that in the country.
Yeah. Yeah, it's desire for him. I mean, he wants to get them all. That's his mentality. He's really, really good about rebounding down from the perimeter, leaving the three line to go clean up boards while our bigs are boxing out and wrestling dudes down there. And obviously, being 6'5", being long, being athletic certainly helps. But he knows that we rely on him to get a lot of rebounds. This year, he has started to crash offensively, which has helped his increase his rebounds, because he always got defensive rebounds, and he's next to impossible to keep off the offensive boards when he goes, because of how athletic he is and his long arms. So, man, he does a ton for us. He's had an awesome, awesome second semester. COVID senior, who I feel like has some urgency about him, like I don't get to do, and is playing that way. So he scores it, he rebounds, he finds people, and is also really, really good defensively for us. So, man, we rely on him a ton.
Yeah, and then I want to talk about Ed Wright, too, because he seems like he's there every night as well.
Yeah.
Another one of your top scorers. Talk about his game.
Yeah, Ed got hurt in one of our early conference games at home against Culver. He came down on a foot, blew his ankle out, and missed 3 or 4 weeks, which was really, really difficult to overcome because of how much he brings to us. And then just – him getting reps on that ankle when he did get back and getting back into shape was hard on him, and wasn't hitting shots, and wasn't confident, didn't trust like his explosiveness with the ankle. So he's starting to find his rhythm though, and doing what we expect Ed Wright to do offensively. And it was a process for him after. I mean, his ankle, we thought it might be broke like Mackay's was. So he is finding his stride here at the right time. And with him and Anthony in the backcourt, I mean, that's a pretty good backcourt there at 6'5 and 6'2 who can do a lot of things. So he's doing what we expect Ed Wright to do, what we know he's capable of. It was the injury that hurt him and hurt us for so long.
So you're playing 7-8 guys. You don't have Mackay. Are you still trying to play as fast?
We are, Billy. We transition, our percentage is not there. Without Mackay at the point, it's not as fast as we want to be. Certainly we emphasize it daily, and we're very, very efficient. We run in transition. We get great shots. So we want to run any opportunity we get. It's just harder when your starting point guard is sitting next to you on the bench, because he's so much of our transition game, because when he couldn't throw it ahead, he would go touch paint and lay it in and find people. And so Branton is Van Dyke's running the point for us, doing a great job. And then we let Anthony Brown, when we sit Brant, we let him run the point, which is obviously not his natural put. So do we want to play fast? Yes. Can we as much right now without our people? No. We've had to go to some more cutting stuff in the half court. It's a little different, but our guys have embraced it, and we continue to be really, really efficient offensive.
You know, I ask you that, Coach, because, I notice your turnovers crept up. I'm assuming that was part of it. But you still got a good assist-to-turnover ratio. So, obviously, you're not losing by going fast, but you're just not quite as efficient as you were.
That's right, and it's a fine line. When you do run, you're going to turn it over a little bit more because we're going to take some chances in transition that other teams just don't take, who walk it up or don't want the pace that we want. But at the same time, it's stuff we show our guys daily. It's stuff we emphasize daily. We talk about valuing the rock daily. You know, it's not your turnover or your shot. It's our turnover. It's our shot. And so, like, just how precious that basketball is, because the message is, man, when we shoot it, we score. We just don't miss very often. So we are trying to, Billy, we're trying to cut down on those TOs. Defense becoming a lead on that end, and then valuing the rock has been our two top points of emphasis this second semester, because I mean, in our league, there's going to be possession games. You are not going to blow everybody out, and it's going to come down to who takes care of it and who gets stopped. So we want to clean it up. We want to get better at it. We want our guys to understand where we're turning it over and why we are, and that's our message in our film sessions and practices daily.
You know, you mentioned defense. You've done that's really carried you this year, hasn't it, Coach? You're holding teams, what is it, under 32 on the three and like 41 from the field. Even when you're shooting poorly, you can stop the team. So it looks to me like that's been your linchpin.
It has. It starts our break. We guard it, and it allows us to run. Like, there's really been some pride from our guys like that. Our message is effort and fundamentals defensively is always going to trump whatever we're trying to do schematically. Like we want to dominate their people. To us, that's when you can be selfish, is when you're guarding a guy with the basketball is – like, you own that, dude. You dominate that matchup. And we've had some guys embrace that. Our four-man, Gerard Bosch, the freshman, kind of catapulted that for us. We have given him some challenges defensively, some of the best four-men in our league. And there's some really good ones. And he's given them an off night that night when we play him, Billy. And so we've rallied around that. We've seen other guys try to be like Gerard in that way defensively. We still think there's more in the tank. There was times last night at Peru where they were just past us defensively, which obviously frustrates us and upsets us, but we have been locked in on defense. I believe we make it difficult on teams, and if we want to make any kind of postseason run here, it's for when you have a poor shooting night or it's not going for it, it's got to be that end. I know that's cliche, but, man, do we believe in that and are harping on that.
Coach, I'm still stuck on Bosch as a freshman. Seriously? Yeah. He's started every game. What is he playing, 27 minutes a game? He's a freshman?
Yeah. I think he's the freshman of the year in our league, Billy. Wow. There's not a better freshman in our conference. And his shooting percentage from three is not there. It'll get there when he's not a freshman and the game's not so fast for him. He rebounds his tail off. We knew we would get that out of him because he was an awesome rebounder at his prep school last year. And where he has surprised us is his defensive desire. I mean, he's physical. He's an international kid. He can't believe some of the foul calls they call here in the States because he wants to grab and hold and shove you and push you. But man, has he helped us so much defensively and rebounding. And he's just a great kid. He will do whatever we ask of him, and he'll do it with maximum effort. So, like I said, he's the absolute best freshman in our league. And the fact that we get him for three more years at 6'7" and skilled and tough, we're excited about.
I want to talk about the heart for a minute before we started. Anybody who watches me know that I go through the conferences every day, and I love the conference races. And the heart is, it's one of the best in the country. There's a few. The GPAC is pretty good, but the heart's probably the tightest race right now. You got four teams have been essentially tied for weeks. And you have, there was Adam Hepker. I called it Adam Hepker night when everybody else in the pack lost. And I think you guys were idle. But that gave you a little bit of a bump. And then, you know, just a couple wins, like last night, Central Methodist lost every night, you know. But now you've worked your way. You're up a game and a half. But, boy, there's a ton of basketball to play. Talk about the heart this year and this race that's turned into a 14 race at this point.
Yeah. I mean, anybody can get anybody. You know, we maybe haven't had the top 25 presence, which I'm not sure how that matters this year, like the heart would normally, but this league is deep. And like I said, even the worst teams in our league are capable of beating the best teams. I'm not sure that's true in every league. But it is in our league. We are trying to worry about ourselves, Billy. Honestly, it's difficult, but trying to improve ourselves daily as a team. The challenge to our guys is, what are they doing to make themselves better every single day? But it literally is one day at a time for us. I just don't think we get, with seven games left and the team still left on our schedule, I'm just not – it's dangerous to look ahead or do anything but focus on today. So that's the challenge. I'm not saying that's easy. We love where we're at, but we also know, like, man, if we overlook somebody, we're 2 or 3 days away from being humbled. So I think the teams that stay level all year long and don't get real high when they win and don't feel like the world's ending when they get beat, I think those teams have the most success. Our guys have done that this year and just kind of showed up ready to work the next day. So we're not perfect, but we are doing some things well, and we know that these next 7 games, Billy, we're going to get everybody's best shot. The challenge will be mentally being ready for that, and when there is adversity, it's like, what's our response? And so far our guys have hung in there and hung together, and I think that's huge.
I don't want to get off topic, but you said something I really believe is the teams that can absorb the losses will come. Yeah, I mean, and right. Ones you think you should have won, I mean, it's just going to happen.
That's right.
And
that's right.
You've got to absorb those and get past them as fast as possible, because you can't have it turn into 2 or 3 losses or 3 out
that's
of 4.
That's exactly,
you know?
Right. Yeah, it's inevitable. It's a great point, Billy. I mean, it's in college basketball with 18 to 23-year-olds who have a lot going on, and mm-hmm. confidence is real and momentum is – like, it's going to happen, and it's – do you show up the next day ready to work, and can you put – like, learn from it. We're gonna watch the film, and we're going to fix some stuff, and then we're going to go give the next team our best shot. I think it's the teams that, you know, again, like – man, we lost one and it turns into 2 and then it turns into 3 because they can't move on. Like, that's where you find yourself in a hole. So one day at a time, one game at a time, and literally one possession at a time, just your job and let the chips fall where they may.
So you mentioned already you have 7 games. Coach, I'm not going to read them all to you. You know who you got coming up. But what is it going to take for the Pioneers to finish strong here and somehow make that game and a half lead hold up and win the heart?
Yeah, that's a great question, Billy. It's a daily focus and improvement from our guys. It's not becoming complacent. Hungry and humble has been the message. We as a coaching staff, like, we have continued to challenge our guys and show them the things that we're doing well, and then also, guys, here's what we got to fix. Here's how we got to keep getting better, knowing that, man, these next 7 games are going to be really, really tough. So we're trying to get better every single day. It gets a little tougher this time of year, Billy, just because your practices have to be shorter. We're beat up, just like every team in the country is beat up, and bumps and bruises, and we know that. So it's treatment, it's weight room, it's film room. It's when we are on the floor, we're going to be very efficient. There's no fluff in our practices at all. But the teams right now, there's not very many of them that are improving. There's a lot of teams that are coasting and just trying to get to the end. That's not us. We don't want to be that way at all. We want to get better today, and that's the goal.
Last question, Adam. So what's the mood around campus? Are people excited? They feel like this is going to be something special. What's your crowds like?
Yeah, they're getting better. I mean, we always have really good crowds in the Cook Center. I mean, our tradition of winning here is borderline mm-hmm. second to none at our level. So, and we've got other sports rallying around us, and so yeah, it's a lot of fun. We want to enjoy it. Winning is really hard, and so you don't ever want to take granted. At the same time, it's that balance between great job, let's figure out a way to keep this rolling. So we love playing at home. We love playing in the Cook Center, obviously. But our guys on the – I mean, we have not lost a road conference game, Billy. You know, and so there's an urgency. There's an urgency from our guys on the road that not a lot of teams have. So we're going to keep this thing rolling as best we can, and take it one day at a time, and you know, we'll see what happens here, and I guess, 3 or 4 weeks from now.
Well, Coach, we're going to keep watching that heart race, and anybody wants to track it with me every weeknight or every week morning, we go through all the conferences, and we always focus on the heart as well when you guys play. And Coach, I really appreciate you taking a couple minutes to get with us. I know you're busy this time of year.
Yeah, no problem, Billy. Anytime, and thanks for all you do again for small college basketball and specifically the NAIA and all the stuff you put out. We'll talk to you soon.
Okay, thanks a lot. That's Adam Hepker. He's head men's basketball coach, Mid-American Nazarene. Thanks, Coach.
No problem.
Hey, thanks again to Adam Hepker and the Mid-American Nazarene for giving me the time. I always enjoy talking to Coach, and that heart race. Well, you got to check those standings out. That is a dogfight. Well, get out and support your school this weekend. A lot of basketball. It's pretty easy to find a game. There's 250 programs around the country. You got to be near one. Get out and support your team. Cheer for these athletes, because they're mainly just playing for the love of the game. And I'll talk to you again on Monday. Thank you very much for supporting our podcast. Please like and subscribe. Get out to your local NAI school, because NAI basketball is the best entertainment value in America.